Cassie left the shop a few minutes later, and Kara, Paisley, and I all cheered as she went. She scowled at us from the other side of the large windows along the front of the shop, but she was smiling by the time she reached the end. "She's something else," I said, shaking my head. "You have no idea," Kara said. "She's even worse at home. On more than a few occasions, I've come home from school and caught her there doing laundry on her lunch break." "What?" I rounded to face Kara, my jaw slack. "Are you serious?" Kara nodded.
"Mm-hmm."
"That's gotta be a particular breed of sickness," Paisley chimed in. If anyone needed magic powers, it was Cassie. She was bound and determined to be Superwoman. Chapter 8. After Siren Song closed up for the night, I said goodbye to Kara and Paisley and headed back through town to the manor. As I passed Nick's office building, an old log cabin that had been converted into a series of small commercial spaces, I noticed his car parked out front. On a whim, I went inside and made my way down the hall to his office in the back corner of the building. Sure enough, the door was propped open, and Nick was bent over his desk, an intense look of concentration on his face. "Knock, knock," I said, rapping my knuckles lightly on the doorframe. Nick bolted upright.
"Oh, hey, Holly."
I smiled and stepped into the room. "If I'd known you were working late, I would have brought you a mocha."
"I could use one."
He chuckled and leaned back in his sleek office chair. As he arched back, he brought his arms up over his head and stretched. I glanced away, focusing on the pictures and notes spread out across his desk. I recognized the photos as the ones that Paisley had handed him at the shop earlier that morning. "How's it going? Any leads?" I asked, settling into one of the visitor chairs on the opposite side of his desk. I perched on the edge and leaned over the desk to get a closer look. It was the same girl. There was no question that the ghost at the manor was Katerina. Nick shook his head and then scrubbed a hand down his face. He was exhausted. When he had a case, he poured his heart into it. I had a feeling this case was going to be particularly rough on him, and there was nothing I could do to insulate him from the inevitable outcome of his investigation.
"Nothing just yet. I tried calling the boyfriend, Bobby, to see what he could tell me, but I didn't get an answer. He lives just outside of town. Looks like he rents a house on the back acreage of a ranch. I'll try going by tomorrow and see what he has to say. If they live together, like Pearl says, then he's probably the best person to start with."
I concealed a cringe. He was talking about her as though she was still alive. Patwings, this was going to be tricky. I forced a smile. "Sounds like a solid plan. If I hear anything, I'll let you know."
"You angling for a job? Junior partner or something?"
I laughed. "Not at all. I'm perfectly happy making coffee. And potions. Mostly the potions."
"You sure? You were incredible with the last investigation you stumbled into. You might just have a knack for this kind of work."
It was eerily similar to something Adam had said. How did I always get myself into these messes? It didn't matter. I'd learned my lesson. "Thanks, but no, I'm good." I pushed up from the chair and went back to the door. "See you at Siren Song tomorrow?"
"You know it."
He flashed a broad smile that set off the sparkle in his cobalt eyes. I returned his smile and set out. "Night, Nick."
"Night, Holly."
Back at the manor, Adam was still upstairs working on his computer, so after popping my head in to say hello, I went back downstairs to the kitchen, looking for Boots. He normally bull-rushed me at the front door, so his absence was strange. It didn't take me long to find the oversized puffball. Gwen, Posey, Katerina, and Lacey were all gathered in the kitchen, and Boots was sitting near his food cupboard, looking around to see if anyone would notice him. I smiled at his pitiful little face, surprised he wasn't yowling his kitty lungs out.
"Your cat is half a minute away from becoming my after-dinner snack," Lacey growled, flashing Boots an icy stare. "He's been begging for over an hour."
Boots blinked at her, clearly not threatened.
Ever since his part in taking down Gary the Gargoyle, he'd been infused with a new sense of bravery.
Back off, Lacey. He just wants dinner. All you had to do was pop the top on a can and he would have left you alone.
I didn't bother to point out that they also could have gone to a different room in the house if they didn't want to listen to him fussing.
I sighed and stooped down to pull out a can of tuna. Boots circled me, ramming his head into my sides and arms as I worked to get his dinner.
Any luck on the memory retrieval? I asked, craning around to glance at the ghostly trio.
Posey shook her head.
Not yet.
Gwen shrugged.
It just takes time.
Yeah, you mentioned that part already, I muttered.
When Boots had his food, I pushed up from the floor, closed the cabinet, and crossed to the sink to rinse out the can. When both the can and my hands were clean, I joined the ghosts, turning my back on Lacey, who was standing near the fridge swirling her fake blood cocktail like it was a fine wine.
Well, I spoke with Nick. He's been trying to track down your boyfriend, Bobby.
Does that name ring any bells? I asked, bracing my hands on the counter behind me. I hoped to get in a few questions before Posey and Gwen shooed me off again.
Bobby?
Katerina wrinkled her pert, ski-slope nose. After a few moments, she shook her head.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't click.
She gave a frustrated sigh, and Gwen patted her on the shoulder. Gwen shot me an uncharacteristically dark look.
Holly, what did we tell you? You have to let it come out naturally.
I pushed off the counter, ready to leave.
All I'm trying to do is get some answers, to help give her family and friends some closure.
Gwen's face softened.
I know your heart is in the right place, Holly, but I assure you, this can't be rushed.
Posey nodded her agreement.
Gwen's right, dear. If you try to force it, Katerina could lose those memories for good.
Really? Katerina and I asked at the same time. Katerina's face fell into an even deeper look of despair. Gwen tried to pat her shoulder again.
Don't worry, doll. We won't let that happen.
I met a ghost once who didn't know anything about his past life, Posey said. He'd been a ghost for 20-something years and had no idea. He said that when he first woke up as a ghost, he found a pair of wizards who tried to help him using magic. Eventually, after their experiments to retrieve his memories concluded, he lost any hope of getting it back.
That's so sad. A pang of guilt swept through my stomach. I'm sorry, Katerina. I'll try to be more patient. In the meantime, Nick is going to keep looking for answers on this side of the other world. The three women nodded.
Thank you, Holly. And thank you to your friend, too,
Katerina replied.
I just wish I could...
Her words cut off as her eyes flew open wide. She jerked like she was trying to grip the tabletop, and her eyes rolled back. Can ghosts have seizures? I cried out, wildly glancing between Posey and Gwen. They both shook their heads as Posey answered.
Not that I know of. We don't have physical brains or muscles.
Katerina shook. And then suddenly, like the blink of an eye, she was normal again.
I remember a cliff.
A cliff?
Yes, a cliff. Over the ocean. There were a lot of green trees. They were so tall, I remember wondering how old they were. How many rings were on their trunks. Then he said,
He? I repeated, almost shouting. He who? Katerina shook her head.
I can't see him. I hear his voice. It's deep and stern. He told me it was a stupid thing to wonder about.
We all hung onto the silence after her last statement, desperately waiting for more. But Katerina shook her head.
That's it. That's all I remember.
She buried her face in her hands.
That's not good enough, is it?
No, no, Katerina, it's good. You did really good. I reached out as though to pat her hand, before realizing that would be in vain. She sighed.
But there are lots of cliffs around here. I saw them when I was on my way to the beach.
Wait. You didn't wake up on the beach?
Posey said, her eyebrows raised. Katerina shook her head again.
No. I remember seeing the ocean from up high. And then I walked and walked, trying to call for help. But there was no one around. When I saw the beach with all the people, I hurried down to get someone to help me. I didn't know that they couldn't see me.
Posey, didn't you tell me that the reason you're bound to the manor is because you died nearby? Posey nodded.
That, and the fact that this was the home I shared with my husband. I don't think I know your death story,
Gwen said, leaning back in her chair. This was quite the revelation, as Gwen knew everything about everyone. She spent most days floating around town, capturing gossip like butterflies in a net, and storing it away in her mind. 40-plus years of gossip in a small town is a lot of information to retain. Posey looked uncomfortable, glancing around at each of us in turn.
Ugh, this is such a morbid conversation. Why would you all want to sit around talking about death all night?
Lacey stalked from the kitchen, taking her crystal goblet with her.
Isn't she a vampire? Katerina asked once the door flapped shut. Doesn't that make her dead too, technically?
I nodded. Ironic, isn't it? A small smile flickered over Katerina's lips.
Posey, can you share? It might help me remember. It seems like talking about something other than my memories helps to clear my mind.
Posey considered us again, but then finally agreed with a slight nod.
All right. After my husband passed away, I sunk into a deep depression, and I couldn't move on. Everyone told me to live life, go out and have an adventure. They told me to leave the manor and all the memories behind. But I couldn't go anywhere. It would have felt like leaving him. My Earl. Eventually it got to be too much. And I decided to join him.
The room fell silent as Posey's meaning sunk in. The most tragic part of the story was that Posey hadn't found her beloved Earl. If he was a ghost too, he was off somewhere else. I'd never asked, but I had a feeling she waited around, haunting the manor because she hoped someday he would make his way back, too. After a long moment, Gwen spoke.
I'm so sorry, Posey.
Katerina and I echoed her sentiments.
I just have one more question,
Katerina said, looking nervously at Gwen and Posey, as though she already knew the answer and didn't like it.
What happens next? I mean, is this all there is? I'm stuck as a ghost forever?
Posey smiled.
No, of course not, dear.
Gwen shook her head.
I've had a lot of friends that passed on to the other world. It's a personal choice.
This new tidbit of information shocked me. I'd never really known how ghosting worked. Gwen was perfectly content being a ghost. She loved being able to fly from house to house and glean gossip and stories every day. I understood that she wasn't in a hurry to move on from this world. But Posey? I would have expected that if Posey had the choice to move on, she would have done it already. Unless, as I thought, she was waiting to see if Earl was still on this side of the other world.
So, why do you stay? Katerina
asked, voicing my own silent question.
I like being a ghost,
Gwen said, her chest puffed out with pride.
This is the most fun I've ever had. Maybe someday I'll get bored and move on, but for now I'm perfectly happy staying here in Beechwood Harbor. What about you, Posey?
Posey's lip quivered, and I gripped the edge of the table. When Posey got off balance, things went haywire around the house. Her last meltdown had made the entire house rebel, and I'd been blasted right off the front porch steps. I glanced up at the ceiling, halfway expecting water to start seeping through it, or a crack to appear.
I don't know how to move on.
Posey confessed, her voice small and quiet. Gwen's eyebrows hiked up her permanently wrinkle-free forehead.
What do you mean?
I've tried. I want to see my husband again, but I can't figure it out. A long time ago, I even traveled to the Seattle Haven to see a ghost doctor. He couldn't help me either.
A ghost doctor? I used to live in the Seattle Haven and had never heard of such a thing. Posey nodded.
He said it might be because of the manner of my death.
Katerina looked between Posey and Gwen. What do you mean, the manner? Is there a wrong way to die?
Because it was my choice. I didn't wait for death to find me. I jumped off the cliff right out the front door, down into the harbor. Sometimes I wonder if Earl was a ghost, too. If he was there that night. If he watched me.
Posey's voice evaporated into thin air, and the house started to shake, as though sobbing on her behalf. Bat wings, I gasped, clinging to the table. From out in the hall, Lacey screamed and then ran back into the kitchen. Posey, it's okay. Take a deep. I cringed, and Gwen shot me a dirty look. I wanted to disappear under the table. Lacey snapped her fingers in front of Posey.
Posey, snap out of it.
I groaned. Helpful, Lacey. Lacey's icy stare landed on me.
Says the one who just told a ghost to take a deep breath.
Posey wiped at her invisible tears, and then started to float up through the table and toward the ceiling. We watched as she disappeared through the solid surface. I knew exactly where she was going. The attic. Gwen glared at me and Lacey before beckoning for Katerina.
Come on, doll. We'll go comfort her.
Before I could sputter an apology, they were floating up just as Posey had and disappeared through the ceiling.
Great, I muttered, staring at the ceiling as the walls trembled again.
Now Beechwood Manor was on the verge of falling down, and I still had no idea where to find Katerina's body. Chapter 9. On my way out of the kitchen, I pushed the door open just as another shudder went through the house. The tremor sent me lurching forward, and I nearly crashed into Adam on the other side. He grabbed my shoulders to steady me.
Whoa! Are you okay?
I was on the phone with a client when all of a sudden the house went crazy.
I'm fine, I said, stepping into his arms.
He wrapped them around me, and I melted against his solid chest.
It's Posey that's upset.
You don't say,
Adam snorted.
What happened this time?
She was talking about her death story and her late husband.
Normal Friday night around here, he said, groaning.
It's just so sad.
Adam nodded, his chin brushing the top of my head. He waited out another tremor before asking,
Should we go talk to her before the pipes break?
I smiled softly and looked up at him. Gwen and Katerina are on it. He ran a finger down the side of my face as we broke apart.
Good. Where did you disappear to tonight?
I stayed to help at work and then stopped at Nick's.
Aha.
He nodded, but there was a curtness to it that rattled me.
Well, you're here now. So what do you say? You ready to go take that walk in the woods? Get out of here for a little while?
I nibbled my lower lip. Actually, I wanted to look something up.
What?
Before Posey's ghost breakdown, Katerina remembered that she woke up on a cliff and walked to the beach when she spotted people. At that time, she didn't know she was a ghost and thought she could get their help. But according to Posey and Gwen, you wake up close to where you die. So to me, that means Katerina's body is on a hiking trail or at the bottom of one. So I thought I would print off a map of the nearby hiking trails and see which ones overlook the beach I found her on. Adam's eyebrows creased together.
Why do you need to worry about it? Isn't finding her kind of Nick's job?
Well, considering that right now Nick thinks she's just off on a vacation or a bender or something, I'd say he needs a little help.
And that has to come from you.
I sighed and pinched my eyes closed. Adam, why does it always have to be a battle? Nick is my friend.
And Evangeline is mine.
Ugh! I tossed my hands up in the air.
That's completely different.
How so? He retorted, crossing his arms. For starters, Evangeline looks at you the same way that Boots looks at a fresh bowl of tuna. Adam wrinkled his nose.
Bad analogy.
Well, it's the truth. She doesn't want to just be your friend, and you know it.
And what if I told you that Nick looks at you the exact same way?
My heart flew up into my throat like a puck hitting the bell in one of those strongman carnival games. What are you talking about? That's insane. Adam hitched his broad shoulders, his expression unchanged.
You might not see it, but I do.
I shook my head. No, he likes Cassie and she likes him. Adam unfolded his arms.
Holly, please, let's just go outside, walk around, and forget all this.
I don't feel like it right now. You can go by yourself. He set his jaw, and I could see the muscles tensing.
Fine.
The front door opened, and we both whirled around to see Evangeline striding inside. Even when dressed for sub-freezing temperatures, she managed to look fashionable. The only thing not runway-ready was the pair of thick leather gloves she wore up to her elbows. She smiled at us.
Hi, guys. I was just out playing with Flurry.
Flurry was her familiar, a large golden hawk. How she played with the massive hawk was beyond my imagination.
Nice night for it,
Adam replied, slapping that stupid smile back on his face, as though Evangeline were a welcome presence in the middle of our argument. At least the house had stopped shaking. That would be hard to explain to Evangeline. Yeah, your landlord occasionally goes berserk and causes location-specific natural disasters, among other tricks.
In fact, I was just going out for a run myself, he said, giving me a pointed stare. Holly?
I glanced between him and Evangeline, before locking on to his dark eyes. I'm fine here, Adam. Thanks anyway. His nostrils flared. But he set out of the manor without another word. Evangeline watched him go, and then looked back at me.
Is he all right?
I nodded.
Yeah, he's fine. What are you up to tonight?
She asked, closing the door behind Adam's haughty exit.
Potions?
I smiled at the hopeful tone to her question, but shook my head. No, I'm working on something else. She nodded and started to peel off her gloves. As I watched her unbuckle the straps that wound around her forearms to keep the thick gloves in place, an idea hit me. Evangeline? She looked up, her fingers frozen on a buckle.
Hmm?
With Flurry. Do you communicate with him?
Sometimes.
She tugged off the glove and went to work on the second one.
It's more of a sensory thing. I can feel his emotions. What about you and Boots?
I nodded. Same. There's a connection, but it's not like I can read his mind. I'm not sure I'd want to, anyway. He'd probably ramble on endlessly about tuna. Evangeline laughed, and a tightness inside of me relaxed. I hadn't even realized I'd been holding in a tense breath before I let it go.
I hear ya. Flurry's would probably be even worse. I don't even want to know the kind of stuff he eats. I happen to like cute little bunny rabbits and chipmunks. I don't like to think of my familiar turning them into a lunch buffet.
I smiled to myself. He probably loves it out here, away from the city. Boots is too lazy, but I'm sure there are plenty of mice and rodents out in the woods. She took off the second glove and clasped them together in one hand.
He's definitely happier here.
I pocketed my hands and shifted back and forth.
So, this is kind of off the wall, but if you were looking for something and Flurry found it, would he be able to tell you?
Evangeline considered the question for a long moment, before nodding.
I think so. Why?
A smile spread across my face.
Do you think I could borrow Flurry?
Early the next morning, before the sun was fully in the sky,
Flurry soared down the coastline, his wings wide open to cruise on the gentle breeze.
"This is so exciting," Evangeline exclaimed, as we climbed the hiking trail, watching Flurry ahead of us.
I caught a sidelong glance at her. "Looking for a dead body?" She winced.
"Okay, not that part, but just being out on a mission. It just feels good."
"Well, I definitely appreciate it. And I know Katerina will, too, if this ends up working." Evangeline and I had set off while it was still dark outside. Luckily, she had a car, so we were able to drive to the trailhead while Flurry followed us from the air. We'd only been walking for a little while, but Flurry was keeping us moving at a fast clip, so we'd made good progress. Prior to setting out, Evangeline had told him who we were looking for before setting him loose. The trail was steep at the beginning, and we'd both been breathing too hard to keep a conversation going. But once we got to a place where it leveled out, Evangeline had started chattering away.
"My life back in L.A. was so boring compared to living here," she said.
I snorted. "There is no way that can be possible. L.A. is one of the largest havens. There must be an endless amount of interesting things going on." Evangeline shrugged.
"I guess. But I was always too busy working on the show to really go out and enjoy any of it. I like the pace a lot better here. There's a lot to do, but time moves slower, it seems."
"I still find that hard to believe. I mean, in the month that you've been here, what's really happened? You're at Siren Song most of the time. How can sitting in a coffee shop be better than being a celebrity?"
"Well, for one, the people here are a lot nicer. I don't have people chasing me down trying to get my agent's phone number or an audition with the studio next door. Here, hardly anyone even knows that I'm an actress. I mean, some of them have heard other supers talking about me, but they probably figure I'm some Z-list girl from a cult classic 20 years ago.
I laughed. "That's true, I guess.
What exactly are you studying, anyway?
You asked me about starfire spells the other day. That's pretty advanced stuff." Evangeline didn't answer the question. Instead, she looked away, staring out at the ocean below the trail for a long moment.
"Did Flurry find something?"
I asked, frantically scanning the sky above. She turned back to look at me and shook her head.
"No, I was just admiring the view."
"Oh. Okay." I glanced at her out of the corner of my eye. Something seemed off. "So, starfire spells?" Evangeline sighed and pushed her long ponytail over her shoulder. Even with a sheen of sweat, she looked like she'd just walked out of a magazine photo shoot.
"It was just part of my curriculum."
I nodded.
"And what school are you going to? I don't think you've mentioned the name."
I didn't want to sound like some kind of interrogation officer, but there was a certain shroud of mystery to Evangeline that I was desperate to remove. The longer she was in town, the more her story fell apart. I was starting to suspect that she wasn't here learning magic for her job as a paranormal soap opera star.
"It's kind of a, study at your own pace program."
"Okay." I cocked an eyebrow at her, but she ignored it, looking out over the ocean again. "Sorry, I shouldn't have pried." Evangeline turned on her best TV star smile and brushed it off with an elegant wave of her hand.
"Don't mention it."
"Okay, I won't." But I couldn't drop it entirely. The last time I'd been around a shifty, secretive wizard, he'd turned out to be a dark wizard, partnered with an extremist group set on overthrowing the SPA. Who could blame me for having trust issues? We walked a little farther in silence, until Evangeline turned to me.
"I did want to ask you about that last potion you brewed the other day. The fated flirt. Was that a love potion?"
I nodded, confirming what could easily be found in any potion's handbook.
"Does it really work?"
"Love potions have varying degrees. Fated flirt is true to its name. It's more of a spark. It's essentially like bottling up that initial flurry of butterflies and excitement when two people meet." Evangeline's eyes went wide.
What are the other kinds?
Well, there's Heart's Fire, and that one is like a mega dose of Faded Flirt, where the effect lasts for a week as opposed to a day or two. Then there's Cupid's Arrow. That one's banned by the SBA because people were using it for, well, let's just say, less than honorable reasons. Evangeline wrinkled her nose as she caught my meaning.
That's deplorable.
There's always someone who has to ruin a good thing. I glanced over at her. It's not as if someone like you needs to worry about love potions. You could have your pick of the guys at Siren Song. I'm sure it's the same way back in the L.A. Haven. Right?
A.K.A. You don't need my boyfriend. Let's put it this way. I'd need to drink a gallon of Cupid's Arrow in order for any of those guys to have a chance.
I blinked, surprised by her answer. Wow. She laughed softly.
I'm picky.
Nothing wrong with that.
Flurry let out an ear-piercing shriek that cut through the sky like a crack of lightning.
Beside me, Evangeline cringed, her happy-go-lucky smile gone. A sick feeling curled around my stomach.
He found her?
Evangeline nodded.
It was odd, being so overwhelmed with grief for a woman we already knew to be dead. But it was like my mind hadn't fully made the connection between Katerina, the ghost, and the limp body Flurry found, sprawled across the boulders at the bottom of the drop-off, her limbs all at odd angles.
Flurry circled the spot once more before coming to rest on Evangeline's outstretched arm, sinking his long talons into the thick glove.
Thank you, Flurry.
I gave a respectful nod to the majestic bird, and could have sworn he nodded back.
I guess it's time to get Nick and Chief Lincoln up here, I whispered.
Evangeline nodded, as we stared down at Katerina's broken body for another long moment. Neither of us spoke another word. We silently turned away and headed back down the hillside.
Chapter 10. Within 20 minutes, a full rescue team had arrived and hoofed it up the steep hillside to retrieve Katerina's body. Several police officers accompanied them, led by Jeffrey Lincoln, Beechwood Harbor's chief of police. Evangeline and I led the way, and when we reached the site, they all jumped in to work out a system of ropes to lower two paramedics and a stretcher down to the girl below. As they worked, they all spoke in terms of finding her alive, and it made my heart ache to know that she was already gone. As we waited for them to recover Katerina's broken body, Chief Lincoln sidled up to us. I gestured over at Evangeline.
Chief Lincoln, this is Evangeline. I don't believe you've met her. She's staying at the manor for the summer.
Chief Lincoln ducked his head respectfully.
It's nice to meet you. Granted, the circumstances could be better.
He cast a grim look past us to where the rescue team was preparing to rappel down the cliff to retrieve the body.
We haven't had an accident on this trail before. At least not that I know of.
I glanced over my shoulder, watching a harnessed man step off the cliff with his back to the ocean. He worked his way down the side slowly but efficiently, and within a few moments his head disappeared from sight.
It's such a tragedy.
It felt like a glib thing to say, but neither Evangeline nor Chief Lincoln noticed. They nodded in agreement, muttering their own sentiments. A screech pierced the air, and Evangeline's eyes snapped up to the sky.
Whoa! What on earth is that?
Chief Lincoln declared, holding his hands over his eyes like a sun visor.
Eagle?
Evangeline shook her head.
That's Flurry. He's my
pet, I burst out, cutting her off before she could say familiar. Evangeline glanced at me, a look of confusion quickly shifting to realization at her near mistake. Chief Lincoln dropped his hand and stared at Evangeline.
You have a pet eagle?
No, Flurry is a hawk.
I gave a nervous laugh.
He's quite the specimen, huh?
Lincoln was still gawking at Evangeline, like she might sprout horns or wings of her own at any given moment. It was understandable, I supposed.
A large bird of prey wasn't the type of pet one would expect a petite movie star pretty woman to have by her side. Evangeline was smiling up at her familiar as he circled overhead.
I've had him since he was a baby, and trained him myself, and now he follows me pretty much anywhere I go.
Interesting, Chief Lincoln said, tamping down the surprised look on his face. All right, I won't take up too much time, but I do need an official statement from each of you.
Of course, I replied. Anything we can do to help. Chief Lincoln took out his small notebook and flipped to a fresh page.
Holly, how about you start? Just tell me everything that happened, if you saw or heard anything.
Without the body, Chief Lincoln had no way of knowing that the girl at the bottom of the cliff had been dead for close to 2 days, and I had to be careful not to say something that would reveal how much information I actually knew about the poor girl. Evangeline and I decided to go out for an early hike. We stopped here to get a drink of water. I held up my iridescent purple water bottle for emphasis. I walked to the edge, just taking in the view, and when I looked down, I saw the body. Girl. Evangeline nodded and quickly added, That's when I ran down the hill to a spot with cell phone service and placed the 911 call. I suppressed a small smile, remembering the utter confusion written on her face when I told her to dial 911 on her phone. The Haven system had a different way of contacting the authorities, and Evangeline was still learning the ways of the human world.
Okay. During the hike, before that point, did you hear or see anything or anyone?
We shook our heads. Chief Lincoln finished his last note before snapping the small book shut. He looked at each of us.
Thank you both.
Without another word, he strode to the cliff's edge to check in with the rescue workers. And, from their hushed tones, I assumed they realized that Katerina was no longer alive. Evangeline and I stood off to the side, waiting, as they brought her up the cliff on a stretcher attached to a series of ropes that the workers used as a pulley system. The looks on their faces confirmed what Evangeline and I already knew. Flurry continued to circle the scene until Evangeline caught his attention and waved him off. He screeched his understanding and took off down the coastline, probably in search of his breakfast. Flurry spent most of his time outside, and only returned to the manor at dusk to take his place on the large perch in Evangeline's room.
Should we stay?
She asked me, once Flurry was out of sight. The rescue crew had Katerina on solid ground, and was preparing to take her remains back down the hill. I didn't want to see her in such a state, so I nodded, and we hurried down the hill ahead of the team. When we were a few feet away from the bustle, Evangeline looked over at me.
What do you think she was doing up here all alone?
I shrugged. Just hiking, I guess.
Maybe I'm being overly cautious, but I don't think I would go hiking in the woods, out of cell phone range, all by myself. And I'm a witch. I can't imagine a human wanting to go alone. What if an animal came? Or she fell and twisted her ankle. Who would be there to help?
I shook my head. I don't know. I mean, if anyone was with her, they didn't come forward and report the accident. A chill crept up my spine. What if it wasn't an accident? One look at Evangeline told me she had the same thought. If Katerina had been hiking with someone else, maybe she hadn't fallen after all. Maybe she'd been pushed. I shook my shoulders, willing the dark thought away, and Evangeline appeared to do the same thing. At the bottom of the trail, Nick was reaching into the trunk of his car to retrieve a large silver case. I wasn't surprised to see him. He'd already confessed to keeping a police scanner in his car and one at home, too. After years of working as a reporter for a newspaper in Los Angeles, it was an old habit that served him well in his new line of work as a private eye. He'd no doubt heard the emergency call go out between the police on their way to the scene.
Hello, Nick,
Evangeline called, as we took the final steps down the trail, trotting into the small parking lot. Most of the spaces were taken up by the rescue vehicles, a fire truck, two squad cars, and an ambulance. They'd come prepared to find a victim that might still be alive. Unfortunately, it was too late. Her ghost was probably sitting at my kitchen table, chatting with Adam, Posey, and Gwen. Nick glanced up as he shut the trunk.
Morning, ladies.
He looked like he'd just rolled out of bed. His dark hair was sticking out in all different directions, and his t-shirt was on inside out, evidenced by the small white tag at the base of his neck, flapping in the wind. I smiled, knowing that he hadn't been able to get one of his beloved mochas.
What's with the luggage, Rivers?
He glanced down at the case.
This is my investigator's kit. It's got my camera with all my different lenses, a flashlight with a blacklight attachment, fingerprint collection tools, a measuring tape, disposable gloves, and a bunch of plastic bags and containers for collecting evidence. I thought I would see if Chief Lincoln needed an extra pair of boots on the ground.
I didn't point out that he was wearing sneakers. I frowned at him. And you need this for a fallen hiker? Nick's face twisted into a grimace.
Ollie, this is a murder investigation.
What? Evangeline and I both gasped. How do they know? I asked.
I don't know the specifics yet, but they just called for a medical examiner and a forensic team. This is now officially a crime scene.
I whipped around, looking up the steep hill. I hadn't been close enough to see her body. Was there an obvious sign of death? How could they have determined it wasn't a hiking accident? Katerina had remembered a man's voice. Someone had been with her on the hike. But who? Was he the killer? And why would someone want to kill the young woman? The questions jumbled together in my mind, but I didn't vocalize any of them. How awful! Nick nodded and glanced down at his sneakers. Another wave of nausea rolled through my stomach when I realized Nick was not only going to have to tell his client that her daughter was dead, but also that she'd been murdered. I took a deep breath of the crisp morning air and forced back the tears that pooled in the corners of my eyes. I should get going. I have to go and open the shop with Cassie. Nick glanced up and gave a slight nod.
All right.
I started past him, brushing a hand along his arm as I went. Stop in this afternoon and give me an update, will you? I had an antsy ghost at home that would want the answers.
Chapter 11. The only good thing about Siren's song being stuffed to the rafters every day was that it left little opportunity to think or dwell on things. While Cassie and I prepared the shop for opening, I gave her the basic rundown on what was happening just a few miles away, but then pushed it aside to focus on the hustle of the morning rush. It was nearly 3 o'clock before Nick walked through the doors, and it all flooded back to the surface. He came to the counter. His shoulders drooped.
Nick? Cassie said, her tone heavy with concern. Are you all right?
Nick glanced up and sagged against the counter.
Not really.
Cassie looked ready to cry, and she didn't even know the worst part, who the girl was. I braced myself, knowing what was coming next. Cassie blinked.
What happened? Holly told me about the girl they found up in the hills.
Nick nodded slowly before meeting her gaze.
The police found an ID card and a small card holder in her back pocket. It's not public yet. But the girl they found was Katerina, Paisley's cousin.
Cassie pressed both hands against her mouth to muffle a gasp. A low moaning sound followed, and tears slipped past her dark lashes.
Oh my gosh! That's awful!
I wrapped an arm around her, and she leaned into me, still crying for her friend's loss. Does the family know? Does Paisley? Nick swallowed hard.
Yes, I accompanied Chief Lincoln to Paisley's aunt's house, and we told her in person. Paisley was there visiting, so she knows too.
Nick shifted his weight from one foot to the other.
She's still there, as far as I know.
Cassie straightened with a sniffle.
Holly, can you watch the front? I'm going to go call her.
Of course. Cassie thanked Nick for stopping by, and then scurried off to the back room to make the phone call.
Bat wings, I sighed. Do they know how it happened?
They still need to do an autopsy, but...
Nick stopped and glanced around, making sure no one could overhear us, and then leaned in closer.
But it looks like she was pushed off the cliff. There were broken branches just off the trail. The footprints need to be processed to rule out those from the rescue crew, but there are a few fresh ones past the spot where she fell. They might indicate that Katerina was there with someone else. It also looked like she had defensive wounds on her hands and scratches on her arms that looked like they were made from fingernails, not tree branches or rocks.
Stars. I shook my head slowly, the horror fully sinking in. Who would do such a thing?
I don't know, but I plan to find out, starting with her live-in boyfriend who hasn't even filed a missing person report.
My eyebrows shot halfway up my forehead. Oh?
Yeah. A little sketchy, if you ask me. If my girlfriend didn't show up and was missing for a few days, I'd be frantic, running all over town, calling the police, the whole nine yards.
I bet you're a great boyfriend, I said, the thought passing from my mind to my lips before I could rein it back in. Nick quirked a brow at me.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, that's just what you do.
I pushed away from the counter, suddenly needing to be away from him and the smell of his cologne and the way it mixed with the scent of pine tree and earth that he'd picked up from working the crime scene along the hiking trail all day. Mocha? Nick gave me a strange look, but blinked it away and nodded.
Yeah, and something to snack on, too. I haven't eaten all day.
I glanced over at him as he zeroed in on a veggie wrap.
Let me get one of those, too. I don't have any cash on me, though. Can you add it to my tab?
I smiled and passed the hot drink across the counter, sure to whip my fingers back before he reached for it. I grabbed the wrap and placed it into a takeout box. I'll add it. Not a problem.
Thanks, Ollie.
Sure. I wiped my hands off on my apron. So what's the plan? You going to go talk to the boyfriend?
Yeah. I need to go home and shower first. I figured I'd drive out to his place after that. He's a little ways outside town.
I nodded. Do you want someone to go with you? Nick laughed.
You are angling for a job. I knew it.
I rolled my eyes. Actually, I was thinking that it might not be smart to go accuse a guy of murder without backup.
So, you'd be the muscle in this scenario?
Nick sputtered, still laughing. Hey, I'll have you know that I recently joined a gym and have very good intentions of going sometime. Soon. He only laughed harder while I scowled. Eventually, it melted away and I laughed with him. He had one of those contagious laughs, and I couldn't help myself from joining in. Fine. You don't want backup? That's on you, Rivers. Nick collected himself.
All right, you've got a point. I can wait for you to get done here before going. What time are you done?
We close at 7 instead of 6 because of all the late business, but I could probably leave right at closing if I get the cleaning done ahead of time. Nick nodded.
Tell you what. I'll swing back by at 6:30 and help you guys clean up, and we can leave as soon as everything is done.
You're a saint.
Saint Nick? I think that one's already taken, he teased, his blue eyes twinkling.
I laughed.
You're right. You don't really have the beard for that one. Or the belly, I might add, he said,
running a palm over his flat stomach.
Keep it up with the daily mocha, and you'll be on your way.
He chuckled and sipped at his drink anyway.
Don't let your boss hear you saying that. Bad for business.
I waved a hand. Nah, I'm not worried. She needs me. Nick smiled.
See you in a few hours, he said,
making his way out the door. I watched him go, catching myself when my staring had gone on for a beat too long. What is wrong with me? I whispered, pushing away from the counter. I had to clean something. I grabbed the broom and started sweeping the front, mumbling to myself with each swing. You have a boyfriend, Hulls. Remember him? Tall, dark, ridiculously handsome? Yeah, that one.
Holly?
I whipped around so fast I lost control of the broom
and it smacked me in the shin.
Bat wings!
Cassie was staring at me wide-eyed.
You okay?
Yeah, fine. I just wasn't... Cassie smiled sadly, and I stopped. How's Paisley? Cassie's smile fell away.
She's devastated. I told her not to worry about coming in until she's ready. But you know how she is, stubborn to a fault. She said she'll be in tomorrow for her normal shift.
I'm always terrible in these situations. I never know what to say.
Me either.
I nibbled on my lower lip for a moment. We could get her a card, at least. Cassie brightened.
That's a good idea.
I'll run out and grab one when Nick comes back.
Back?
He's gonna come by and help us close up. Cassie blinked twice. Her brows knit together.
Why?
So that I can go with him when he questions Katerina's boyfriend. I'm the muscle. Cassie's lips twitched into a smile, but the puzzlement remained. After a moment, she waved her hand.
All right.
She dropped the issue and started rattling off a list of ideas for the big summer bash we were planning to hold at the shop. I listened, mostly, as I continued to sweep. Somewhere in the middle of Cassie's list, an idea had popped into my head. And I knew exactly what to do to get Nick out of my head. Tonight, when he came back, I could dose him and Cassie with the fated flirt and then leave them alone while I went to get the card for Paisley. By the time I got back to the shop, they'd be consumed with each other. Then Adam couldn't complain about the way Nick looked at me, and I could stop worrying that it was true. During my afternoon break, I went to the employee cupboard and retrieved my purse. I wanted to have the vial of faded flirt in my pocket. The potion only worked once each party had taken a sip. I didn't want to be fumbling around in my purse when the right moment presented itself. I would distract them, put a drop in each cup, and then watch the sparks fly. Metaphorically, of course. In reality, the potion was less of a love potion and more of an obsession potion. Once dosed, Nick and Cassie would be unable to think of anything but each other for an extended period of time. Hopefully, just long enough for one of them, pay attention, Mr. Smooth, to make a move. Expectation rushed through me, my smile growing wider, until it stopped, frozen in place. I scratched around in the bottom of my purse like a deep-sea trawler, fishing back and forth, trying to locate the smooth glass vial. When I came up empty for the third time, I resorted to going into Cassie's office and dumping the contents out onto her desk. Everything else was there. Wallet, house key, lip gloss, 1,000 hair elastics, and a pair of socks. Don't ask me why. But that was it. The vial of faded flirt was gone. At 6:30 on the dot, Nick strolled back into the coffee shop. After asking Cassie how Paisley was holding up, he dove right into work. He helped take out garbage bags, stock sugar packets, and fill napkin containers. He even cleaned the small bathroom. Cassie finished with the last customer, and her attention drifted to Nick as he started mopping in the far corner of the shop after checking with the tables of lingering patrons to make sure that they didn't need anything else. I shot her a sideways smile. You over there mentally planning your guy's wedding? Cassie giggled and smacked my arm. I don't know about marrying him, but I'm thinking we should at least get him on the payroll. Except that if he was here all day, you'd probably never get anything done. She smacked me again, harder, and stalked off to collect the two pitchers of ice water from the front table.
What's he doing here again?
I'm going with him to talk to Katerina's boyfriend.
Why?
Cassie wrinkled her nose. Apparently they lived together, but he hasn't filed a missing person report or even called the police to see if they could track his girlfriend down. It just seems off, so Nick wants to start there. She dumped the leftover water down the sink beside the espresso machine.
That does seem odd, but I don't understand why you two have to go talk to him. Isn't that kind of the police's job?
I'm sure he would be more willing to talk to one of us instead of the police. We're less threatening. Besides, Nick is still technically working for Katerina's mother. He wants to see the investigation through.
What does Jeffrey think of that?
She was on a first-name basis with the police chief, as they'd known each other since elementary school. Nick and Chief Lincoln get along these days. You heard him say that they went together to inform Pearl and Paisley about Katerina's death.
That's true. Still, I'm not sure he would be happy if he found Nick investigating leads. You remember how he got when you two were poking around in Peg's murder?
I shrugged. He wasn't so bad. Cassie shot me a look, and I laughed, holding up my hands.
Okay, so he was about as friendly as an angry porcupine. But it all worked out in the end, didn't it?
She sighed.
For everyone except Peg.
Okay, morbid.
Sorry.
She sighed.
I still can't believe Paisley lost her cousin. I mean, I'd never met Katerina, but she was just a few years younger than us. It's just hitting me a little hard, that's all.
I hear you, Cass. I gave her a solemn nod. That's why Nick and I want to find out what happened, so that Paisley and her whole family can have some closure and move on as best as they can. Cassie gave me a small smile.
You're not going to leave me here alone and go work for Nick, are you?
I laughed and shook my head. Not a chance. I like coffee. Coffee is simple.
Cheers to that,
she said, holding up her own cup that she'd had stashed behind the counter most of the night. I didn't want to think about the reason why she was dosing herself with caffeine. According to Kira, she needed sleep. But I wasn't going to nag her about it. At least not tonight. As Nick finished mopping, the last group of customers left, waving their thanks as they went. Nick returned the mop to the back room and came out to the dining room, spinning around to consider all his work.
Looking good, ladies.
You're a lifesaver, Nick. I needed to get out of here on time tonight.
I shot her a look. Please tell me it's because you have something better to do than a mountain of laundry. She laughed, and a tinge of pink flooded her cheeks.
I have a date.
Cassie? My heart jumped, and I lunged for her arm. What? Who with?
Jeffrey?
Oh, my stars, Cassie! I shot her a dirty look. How long has this been in the works? Why am I just hearing about this? She laughed as I shook her arm.
It just happened today. He stopped in while you were on your way out for your break and asked what I was doing for dinner. It's so not a big deal, so please, contain yourself.
She pawed my hands off of her and started counting the till, the final task on the list. We will talk about this tomorrow. In detail, woman. Cassie laughed and waved us off.
Go. Have fun playing detective.
Don't get into trouble. Nick went to the door and held it open for me.
Have a good night, Cassie. Chief Lincoln's a lucky guy.
I caught a look back at Cassie and noticed her smile falter a fraction of an inch. She put it back in place and waved goodbye.
Thanks, Nick.
As Nick and I set out into the parking lot, I breathed a sigh of relief that I hadn't actually been able to dose Cassie and Nick with the fated flirt. That would have been an epic disaster. Sending her on a date with Chief Lincoln, with Nick swimming around in her thoughts. Though it still raised the question as to who had run off with the vial of love potion. I had a pretty good idea. But proving it would be difficult without ruffling some feathers and fur around the manor. Chapter 12.
I did a little more digging into Bobby, Nick announced as we got into his silver sedan.
It was some foreign brand that I knew nothing about. I didn't have a car, and didn't bother to keep track of the different brands or features. All I knew was that Nick kept his shiny, and the interior smelled like citrus, courtesy of a small orange cardboard tree that hung from the rearview mirror. Anything juicy? I asked, buckling up. Nick pulled out onto the main road that would eventually lead us out of town.
His full name is Robert Price. He and Katerina were sharing a home that's situated on the back acreage of a ranch. Robert, or Bobby, works the land in exchange for the house and a small salary.
What about Katerina? Where was she working?
She worked at a bar just down the county road from the ranch, Lou's Whiskey Well. She tended bar in the evenings and on weekends. I nodded, adding it to the pile of facts in the back of my mind. I planned to check with Gwen and Posey first,